Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode on the Celtic Now and For podcast. My name is Ryan Clifford, and today we're joined by two guests who are on before in the podcast, Robert Boyle and John Clifford. Robert, John, how are you doing, guys?
You know what?
Thank you.
Well, obviously, lads, it's been a turbulent time the last week or so. Obviously, Dubai and the result against Habs and everything that came with it. Obviously, Robert, treat yourself, your kind of first thoughts and really the week it's passed.
I'm not even shocked anymore, Ryan, the circus act it's been. We did discuss last week that about Dubai was, we didn't agree with it, but we thought, right, if that's what they feel, what has to be done, let them go and try and refresh. But remember what I said, what happens if we come back with all sorts of COVID cases? And any slim hope we thought of winning the league is now gone. It's completely finished in my eyes. And I would say we've been the biggest fuck-up that we could ever have been, Celtic themselves, this season. I think if you put David Murray in charge of Celtic, he couldn't have made as much of a mess as our actual club have done at Celtic right now. We have just been absolutely arrogant, blinkered. How else will I explain it? Blinkered, arrogant, just a total joke, mate, for the summer. For 18 months now, we have known that the other mob were going to come and try and, like, they were getting better and better year by year, but I feel our board just brushed them all aside all the time, thought they'll never do anything, they've no get money, they've no get this. And our own arrogance and neglect and stupidity has cost us 10 in a row. Cost us getting into Champions League time after time, gambling with players. Never signed a centre-half, which we've been screaming out for the whole season. Never signed a winger when we knew Forest was out early in the season. They told us January they were going to build for next season. We don't even know who's going to be the manager next season or going to be Neil Lennon. To me, it's just one big, massive circus act. I don't even let it go with it now. What to say about it, right?
And obviously yourself, John, what's your kind of thoughts on what's been happening recently?
Most Celtic fans thought this was going to be maybe the biggest season in history. If that's the case, then it could also have been Rangers. For Rangers to lose the 10 to Celtic, the implications of Celtic winning the league this year financially for Rangers would have been catastrophic. It would have been worse than what they've been through before, I think. It would have totally blitzed them. And the fact that it might have put them down where they were before, because they need the money through Europe this season, which they're getting. They're going to get money through winning the league, although it's only a couple of million. It will get them into the Champions League qualifiers next year, more money. No doubt, Rangers win the league this year, their fans will buy season books. Even if it's no football next season, they'll buy season books to follow their team. Because that's what they do. How many share issues they had, and they just keep putting their horn in their pocket all the time. But Celtic's missed a trick this season because it would have put them back in their place again. It would have put them back 5 years again. But it's not to be. The league was done a couple of weeks ago after getting beat by Rangers. Even though Celtic played well for an hour or whatever, but it's gone, end of.
And then obviously the Dubai game, shall we call it, and the jolly, it was supposed of not to have happened. Obviously, Rob, we spoke about it, but obviously what's been happening after it, the repercussions, should I say, after Dubai, with Julian's positive test and players isolating, and then we're kind of still defending it. But we'll talk about Lobel's statement later, but before the statement today, they were kind of defending it. Every player was kind of defending it. Every day with Celtic, former players were really going against them. And as kind of spoke about Andy Walker, I thought it was spot on, saying that obviously he doesn't feel that this is a club he played for, the way we're going about our business now. And for me, Robert, I think he's kind of right. And I think every criticism that we deserve is spot on.
Aye, for everybody in the media, even some wankers that we don't agree with most times, I can't disagree with him this time. I think everybody's, you've even got guys like Pat Bowner now coming out and slating the club for the way they've acted. Let's be honest, Ryan. Chartered flight just for Celtic, 30, 40 members of staff. A guy who's out for 4 months managed to go on this trip, which is meant to be a winter training camp to get players in peak condition for to go the rest of the season. To me, that wasn't what that was. To me, the photos are learning, and I'm not saying they shouldn't be sitting at a pool having a beer, right? They're entitled to that. On your holidays and stuff like that, but they're not meant to be there on holiday. They're not meant to be there in a pandemic. To me, and the way Scott Brown comes out the paper and still defends it, Peter Lowell defended it up until the statement today, Celtic Football Club defended it. They must have spent at least £500,000 on that trip in the middle of a pandemic, when we've already been revamped with COVID, when the people can't go and visit their grannies around the corner, can't go and visit their mums and dads, can't go and see their grands in care homes. People are losing their jobs through this, and they've went for a job 5 days in Dubai. £500,000, just say for instance, that's roughly I would estimate it at. Come back, we've had 13 players revamped with COVID, can't play our team, had to put a reserve team out against Hibs. Hibs didn't even want to play the game because they were scared in case any other players get COVID. It's just, to me, it's just absolutely atrocious mismanagement. Lennon's got to take a lot of the blame, Celtic PR's got to take a lot of the blame, Lawwell. But you know what? They're that arrogant, they're not taking the blame. Mm-hmm. That apology today, to me, was just, it was garbage. We should have been apologising for the state he's left Celtic in. That we're no in the Champions League, we're no in the Europa League, we're no in the League Cup, and we're out of the league. And it's the, I think that all happened in the 11th of January. So realistically, we should all get a refund in our season books, because they said that season book's to last a season. The season book's gone. We've no been given what we're paid for out the football club. I think it's absolutely atrocious that they've blew £25 million of people's money and gone touched Dubai, and players that are absolute bang average that they've brought in. There's nobody that's come in and really improved this in the summer, as far as I could see.
Because obviously you were talking about £25 million, mate. As you say, realistically, right, that's a £25 million donation to Celtic, because fans can't go to the game, and they're buying season books, they're buying strips, they're buying virtual programmes, they're buying fucking virtual windfall raffle tickets. So realistically, you're maybe talking £27 million, £28 million on, including your strips and all that, and training gear. And for me, that's a donation, really. It's really a donation. And it's a total, you're no one too angry because you're trying to talk right, but it's very hard to not get angry. Obviously yourself, John, what's kind of your thoughts on the Dubai gate?
I think you have covered Dubai. Just to put it short, shouldn't you win? End of. The only team in Europe to go for a winter training camp. Fucking shambles. You spoke about it before we went, Ryan, as well, but the dangers of COVID is high on the agenda for everybody. I just don't understand how there wasn't more people in the Celtic bubble have had to self-isolate. Regarding Julian, if Julian was going for rehabilitation, should I say, then the physios, it's hands-on work. Is the physios been isolating? Has anybody thought of that?
Yeah, that's true.
He's not been earning fucking doing his own physio work, has he? He said people working with him, allegedly, but I smell shite. regarding what paying season book money and whatever, knowing you're not going to go it again, Celtic's supposed to have brought all sorts of records with a new Adidas merchandise as well, Ryan. You're not talking to a £3 million. I think about a lot more than that.
Because that's because at pre-season, obviously we've signed, we've got guys in, and it did look a decent window, and you're thinking, right, spent a bit of money, kick on, but and then you're talking about the training gear, the season books, or we've signed this record-breaking deal for Celtic, Adidas, or and it says on the advertising that like, they're no for second best, nor that, and then we're it's just been a shit show for the beginning. For the start of the season, you're thinking, right, spent a bit of money, Adidas gear, brilliant, season books are flying in, we're looking good, and it's just been a total shit show. And as you says about Julian, why did he even go? See, like, I've been injured in the past, I've been out for a long, long period of time playing football. I didn't go to training. Even if it was official, I didn't go to training because there's no need for me to go to training. Why? That's the same as I know. It's different going to Dubai because you're going there for a reason. Supposedly they're going for a reason. So why? He's not going to be playing maybe the rest of the season. So why is he there?
See the guy that's Julian. He's supposed to. It's a knee injury, isn't it? I don't know the extent of the damage. Say it's ligament damage. He's obviously going with a bit of swelling. The worst thing, anybody that's medically minded will tell you, the worst thing you can do is go on a fucking aeroplane. The worst thing you can do.
That's right.
Smell shite, definitely.
I think everybody's the same. It's very, I don't understand it myself. As you says, a guy who, see, to be fair, I don't think anybody knows the full extent of his injury. We just know it's a knee injury. There's no community says it's an ACL or a PCL or a cartilage. I've not told you nothing. Unless I've missed it, but I've no actually seen the extent of the injury. So even then, man, knee injuries, any injury, you don't go away in a week to Dubai when you should be here getting your rehab here.
No, I've no need to go to Dubai when you've got a supposedly state-of-the-art training ground and rehabilitation centre in it. There's no need to go anywhere else for your rehab. That's what
Peter Lawwell said. It's a world-class training facility. So what's £8 million at Lennox Town then? What is that?
I know.
And see if they're going to go to a winter training camp. Go to Siberia or something. Freezing cold. Why do they need to go to Dubai in the sunshine? And they can do a Rocky workout there in fucking Siberia. You know what I mean? It's just,
I don't know if it was Lennon or Law was saying they were going for performance reasons to try and get them performing better. See the ins and outs of that. How could they not have just done it here? Why do you need fucking 20 odd degrees to do that for what they were going to work on? Could have done everything they've done over there, here, end of.
And it's all this crap. They have no bonding session. No team, anybody that's went into any team in the world, football, haven't they got time to bond? It's not just Celtic. He keeps telling you Celtic's the worst affected. Celtic's affected by it the same as any other team worldwide. And any signings that come in don't get to bond with our players because that's just the way it is worldwide. But he doesn't try to make excuses of the pandemic how we've been the worst affected by it. To me, no, it is. They've made all the mistakes and they're trying to blame my pandemic on it. They should have sacked the manager months ago. They never done it. Their signings were atrocious because the number one targets they went for didn't want to sign or they couldn't afford them. So they went for number twos and number threes. It's no worked. It's just totally been for the very start. Everything's just been gambled on the first thing the first player that's coming in, oh, it's not happening, oh, we're going to scramble, get a goalkeeper in because Foster's not appeared. Tony, we kind of get him in, oh, we're going to scramble, try and get a Yeti in, a guy who knocked his back and went holiday for 2 weeks and then decides to sign, and I think he's still on holiday because I've not seen him doing it at Celtic. He's never fit. Well, with our performance levels for under Rodgers to Lennon, I would say has dropped fitness-wise about 30%. It's ridiculous. It's just totally neglected the team, how the standards we set, you know.
See, obviously, you're talking about obviously the fitness and the training has been downhill. Ronnie Dyer said the same when he came in after Lennon. He says the training wasn't up to standard, the fitness wasn't. So, if that, and that guy doesn't really know Neil Lennon, he doesn't really know Celtic, and he's come in and thought, I need to change this. And I think that's why he came in and overhauled the full thing. And that's why I think players didn't like it, because they didn't get what they wanted. It was a strict regime diet. If it didn't work for them, it didn't work for them. But you've got to follow what the manager tells you. You've got to respect the manager. And I generally don't think the play, see the fact that players keep coming out saying we respect the manager and we're playing for the manager, that tells me you're not playing for the manager. Because if you have to come out and justify everything you're doing, for me, that, as my dad says, it smells shite. John's right, my opinion, I think it does smell a bit like shite. Lowell's just, for me, as you say, he's backtracking, using the pandemic as a mistake. As for the mistakes. We all know that fans aren't daft. You can put the wool where the fans for so long, but for me, John, I think everything you've said spot on, because, and as Robert says about the board, it's ridiculous now.
Taking the fans for granted now. The fans spend an absolute fortune going to support their team and paying for strips and merchandise, whatever. It's the fans' club. They're only fucking looking after it for them and the possessions they're in. The fans should have a say. People's been saying for years, don't know what you think, Robert, it should be somebody for the fans on the board or somebody that's involved in some capacity. Because if there was somebody in that capacity, they'd be scheming for the rooftops after the Ferns-Varos game.
There's Celtic Trust, John, who's trying to get everybody's old shares. And they're trying to turn that in so they've got so many shares that they then get a voice on the board. That's the only one I know that's now pushing forward to try and get a voice on, and they're trying to raise something like £5 million a year to push on, and then within 5 years we'll have £30 million, which they can turn into £30 million worth of shares. But I think as they grow bigger, there'll be more people involved in it. It will get bigger and bigger, and then we will have a voice on the board, because I feel like the communication for Celtic board and the fans is drifted out at sea. It's miles long. It's like there's no communication. They just, like, obviously everything that happened down at Celtic Park, the fans going down and protesting and stuff. All they had today was come out and make statements and explain to us what's happening. They told us January was going to be a key month. I've not seen us signing anybody yet or even linked to anybody. And to me, you need to act now, coming up for qualifiers next year, because every year we get caught short and we're trying to sign players into the third qualifying. It doesn't come in fit. It's just everything. We've no learning from our past mistakes and everything we're doing, in my opinion.
Back in the 90s, you had the Celts for Change movement. There are a couple of wee smaller movements, kind of forced their hand. I'm not saying that's going to happen again, but the discontent is certainly growing anyway, isn't it?
Aye, 100%. I would like to see what Des McDermott's saying in this whole stuff, because I don't know, he's too busy on a golf field or sitting in his millionaire's pad. To me, I'd rather get him out. I know he's a big money backer and he's the one with the money, but I'd rather have somebody that was there week in, week out and taking today with Celtic. To me, he's no interest. He's only there taking a wage or whatever he's doing, because everybody says he does this and does that. For me, he's no really a Celtic supporter, a lot of sales. Who cares as much as we do? all right, he's got the money in that sense, but there's other guys out there that's got money to match him that cares more about Celtic that I'd rather have in charge.
You want somebody more hands-on?
More hands-on, John. More dealing with it. And Peter Lawwell's got too much running the club and too much people on his puppet strings, in my opinion.
You see, obviously, you were talking about Desmond there, and I can agree with Andy Walker for the post-match the other night against Hibs, which we'll go into after talking about the board. He was saying Desmond's, he's got to come out. He's got to come out and explain to the fans, and it's probably one of the only times I've actually sat up and listened to Andy Walker, because not fans of Andy Walker, nobody fans are like Soup Taker or that carry on, but he actually spoke sense, and I could see him talking. He was getting a bit angry. So again, we might give Andy Walker some criticism maybe that he should get, because maybe the guy does care and maybe he's just doing his job. But he, for me, when he was on Sky the other day, he did look, he was getting a bit angry. He was talking about how Desmond's got to come out and face this, tell the fans what's happening, because let's be honest, see, unless you're actually in the know with Celtic, none of us know nothing. They've not told us nothing. Absolutely jack shit. Dubai, it was brilliant. It was fine. But there's a big difference between going last year and the year before than during a time like this. As you says, I can't go down and see my nana. I can't go and do this. I can't go see my pals. You can't go see this and that. My dad can't go to football, but they can fly to Dubai. It's morally wrong. I understand that the government have says, you can go, but what the fuck? It's use your common sense, and that's where I think Desmond has got to step up to the plate. I know there's one or two other shareholders involved, but he's one of the major shareholders. He's got to stop having Lawwell for me as his puppet, and he's got to come out and step out and actually explain to the fans and the guys who are involved with Celtic, this is what's happening. Because for me, as you say, this should have been 10. I don't care what anybody says. We've got the baton, we've got the money. We should be gone for 10. For me, 10 should have been gone and done. We've been shouting for 10 in a row for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Brilliant. We've got to that stage, and the board, and he's talking about his statement when he was talking about maximising potential. Maximising potential was getting to 10, and you've, for me, Peter, you've totally done something the fans will never forgive you on, in my opinion.
They talk about being an elite club, right? Ryan, it bangs on about this all the time. We're a Champions League club, we're a Champions League club. A Champions League club makes a Champions League every year, or every couple of year. When was the last time we won the Champions League? 2017? What?
Rodgers won it.
Aye. And before him, it was a few years before that, because we made it 2 years in a row under Rodgers. Mm-hmm. And then it was under Stratton. So we're not a Champions League club. They want to pretend as a Champions League club, but everything they do behind the scenes isn't a Champions League level, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Everything. For him, for Desmond, for the management. Right away, the manager needs to be Champions League elite, and you're Brendan Rodgers elite type of guy. Mm-hmm. Neil Lennon, everybody agreed he was good for 3 months, but he should never have took a Joe Bone. And he's arrogant and all thinking he could have went and done it. And arrogant again when he was on a pure bad run. I know going, I hold my hands up, I'm sorry, I took the club as far as I go, and people would have respected him. Now people are starting to dislike him day to day, and it's grown by the day. And the players' performances under Rodgers and under him, dropped. All that is under his watch, or under Peter Lawwell's watch, or under Dermot Desmond's watch. And if they don't dramatically do something in the next month or two to get a new manager in and get things in place, they'll no sell 55,000 season books, I can assure you that. That's when they'll start begging and pleasing you with letters coming out, we're really sorry. I think you should be apologising for the state we're in. No in Champions League, no in Europa League, no in the League Cup. Winning the Scottish Cup just with a Championship team and penalties after extra time, scraping by and out of the league. We've got a Scottish Cup to look forward to, and this was for 11th of January. People paid £600-700. People paid thousands of pounds for sitting in heated seats. For what? You can't turn around and tell me that's been a season they've gave. They've not even gave 6 months. Mm-hmm. They've gave us the odd couple of game in 6 months. It's a disgrace, in my opinion, a total disgrace. And the players have got to take as much blame as the management and as much as the board members, because the full lot of them have just took it for fucking granted that they were just going to turn up and win this league. That's my opinion on that.
See, you go back to Dubai a wee minute, to go back onto that. I think it was the 12th of November or something, Celtic applied to the league and whatever to go, and they get the OK. 12th of November might have been OK, different circumstances then. But surely if they liaison with the SFL or the SFA, whoever it is, surely the people that Celtic were dealing with should have fucking demanded that Celtic didn't go. I think there's got to be responsibility, not just on Celtic, but for the people that's in charge of Celtic, as in SPFL, SFA, whoever. Surely they've got to look at the big picture as well and say, look, are you really sure you want to do this? Nobody's, I don't think I've heard anybody else talking about that. Surely, I'm not saying Celtic's fucking, as far as I'm concerned, it's all their fault, but if they're liaison with other parties, surely they should have a communication to say, this shouldn't happen. It's morally wrong, as Ryan says. We know it's all wrong. But it's done now, and you need to live with it.
I get what you mean in that sense, John. I do get you on that. But deep down, Celtic have the last choice in the matter. They could probably advise Celtic on it, say, oh no, it's... But then Celtic went, aye, well, we think this will be ideal, and Dubai's not really bad with COVID and stuff now. But at the same time, everybody that was going on holiday, the only place they could go was Dubai. So it was always going to happen, in my opinion.
Also, I'd say to Ryan as well, Celtic might have had contractual reasons for going as dealt with, maybe with Adidas or whatever. But surely that could get dealt with, considering the global pandemic, right enough. They might have a contract they had to go, but I'm sure that could get dealt with, definitely.
As you say, any other club had to deal with it, had to do it.
Exactly, mate.
As I say, and obviously we were talking about transfers, with Benkovic rumoured to talks, and then he's went to Belgium. He spoke about the ambition in the Belgium club, and for me that's just a big pie in the face to us, and that's him basically saying to the fans, yous knows what's happening. That's why I'm leaving, going to enter talks with yous.
What's the name of the team he's away to? There you go. Is that no fucking embarrassing? As you said, Robert, Celtic think they're an elite club. You've got a mid-table Belgian team stealing a player that you fancy.
And Genk took fucking Mark McKenzie, who we were meant to fancy as well. Just... I don't think... If you want a player, really, really want a player, you go and get the player. But Celtic hum and haw, they've been doing it for years. I mean, I know a boy who knows personally, knows James McCarthy. And when he was with Hamilton, Peter Lawwell went and met him and says to him, oh, big Celtic supporter, we really like you, we want to sign you. But you run your contact then with Hamilton and then we'll sign you. Why would you say that to a boy who you think's really talented, who's a big spark coming out of Scottish football? Run your contact then. And that's why you ended up going elsewhere, because Hamilton sell them. That's not just one occasion that's happened. This is what the Celtic play on this card. If you're a Celtic supporter, you'll just do as they say because you want to play for Celtic. But in modern football, people are going, nah, why should I? They want to go and play and make more money, and which is proved with John McGinn doing it at Aston Villa.
It's something we've done for years. It's for me, it's got to stop this penny pinching. It's just, I think obviously my dad's obviously in yourself lived through the 90s, and that's what it was like then, penny pinching, free transfers, shitty loan deals, and as you're talking about, and as you says, we've got to try and, it's a big month to prepare, and then we're going to the Habs game, and you're thinking, right, a bit of a depleted team, but you go 1-0 up, free kick, brilliant. Just hold on. Again, silly free kick. Laxalt defending. Goalkeeper, no good enough for me. Okay, remember to say, young boy. fucking David De Gea, 20-year-old, Man U, debut, brilliant, still a goaler there. So age doesn't matter. Carter for me is no good enough. Duffy, McGregor, I can't even tell if he's on the line. Danny Clear it. Shambles. Can't see games out. Game management with the club, the players, everything, the game management for me this season has been an absolute disgrace.
See the on you go, Robert. On you go.
Sorry, John. It's not on you go, John. Sorry.
Regarding the goal, sitting watching it with Ryan, and the guys, McGinn's come up to Laxalt, and I'm like, don't tackle him. Don't tackle him, because you know what's going to happen. Sure enough, he fouls him. Very good ball into the ball. It's good delivery. I think it was actually McGinn that won it. Do you know he had to stoop down to heed of that?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to win it. He actually, he was physically entangled with Turnbull, who wasn't strong enough. He actually stooped down to heed it. And then Duffy's panicked. Goalkeeper's come out doing his Superman impersonation. Just, it's what you expected, wasn't it? And have to get
we're
that free kick. You just expect
into the box. We don't deal with close balls. There's no communication in the back line and the goalkeeper. It's just, everybody just madly gone for what they can go for. Like the goalie, Duffy, it's just, rather than Duffy saying, I'll go for it, I'll attack it, you stay in your line to the keeper, and the keeper does, because the keeper's saying, he's not getting it, Duffy's saying, he's not going for it. The two of them are in a muddle, the two of them are banging into each other to try and get the ball. It fucking makes an absolute shambles here, and it falls to Wee Nisbet, and he just tucks it away. But I feel Ryan, you're a wee bit harsh on the young boy, goalkeeper. He's no great at close balls and stuff like that, but he's probably done all right if he came in. He's been fault at three close balls, but I think he's no bad shortstop. But I think the boy's very young in a goalkeeper's age. He is only 22. I think the boy lacks experience. The best thing for the boy would be to go out and loan to a club and play week in, week out, and iron out his faults in that sense, just on my opinion that way. Because I didn't think the boy had a bad game other than that. I thought he was good shortstopping. He actually, he's vocal in the box, which I like about him as a young goalkeeper. And David De Gea, the Man U fans will tell you David De Gea is not our number one, mate. He makes mistakes week in, week out at Man U, and he cost the best part of a lot of 50 million. Unfortunately, the goalkeepers make mistakes now, but they get criticised more than anything. And the boy at Chelsea, Kepa, he was £72 million, and Chelsea fans will tell you the mistakes he makes. Goalkeepers and defenders, in my opinion, aren't as good as they used to be in the 80s and the 90s and 2000s, where you used to have great goalkeepers through everywhere, great defenders out everywhere. Now you can't really get a good defender or a good goalkeeper. They're one every million probably now.
Aye, definitely, mate. Last wee bits, we've run out of time on the old Zoom here. This is your last kind of thoughts on what's been happening in obviously the future, Robert.
The future? Something needs to happen dramatic in my opinion within the next 3-4 weeks. There's got to be something in place for management side yet, players side yet, recruitment. I think it needs stripped back better, needs re-looked at, and it needs to happen sooner rather than later, because the season book renewals are up very soon, and I can't see many people willing to say we're in a pandemic again, wanting to put a hand in their pocket again, because a lot of people can't afford to these days. Maybe they're not getting overtime they used to get. Maybe their own furlough. You can't tell me people that's got families are going to go and fire £500, £600, £700, but maybe full families are £1,200, £1,300 are going to go and give Celtic that after watching that season, because it's just nowhere near good enough for this elite football club that they keep telling us that we are.
And obviously yourself, John.
I actually think it's going to get worse as the season gets on. I think we've drawn 5 and lost 2 league games. Losing 2 league games halfway through was probably acceptable. It's just the standard of performances and the attitude and commitment to the players, it looks like. And can I talk about Lennon for a wee second?
Aye.
See him last week shoving that snus up his gob at the side of the park. That's how embarrassing is that? Where's the professionalism? No. Fuck me. You don't want to have back again. Brendan Rodgers is immaculate at the side of the park with a suit and all that. And this wee cunt fucking throwing tobacco in his gob with fucking gloves on. Manky looking like a tramp. Embarrassing, mate. So it was.
I agree with you, John. I agree with you. Sorry, I need to call it, lads. The old Zoom's up. So, yeah, but thanks for your time, lads. I appreciate everything you've said. We've got a special guest coming up soon. We'll iron that out and we'll get back to you soon. But thanks for your time, lads, and the Celtic Now and for our podcast. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to part two on this episode of the Celtic Now and for our podcast. It's myself, John, and Robert again. Had to obviously cut short there because the old Zoom packed it in. But we're back on. We were talking about Neil Lennon, obviously, John. Obviously, about him being a bit embarrassing with the snus up his duke and stuff. And I agree with you when it comes to that. That's no a detriment on his ability as a manager, but it just doesn't look good when, as Robert says, you're about to be a Champions League club, an elite manager. You've got a guy going like that. It doesn't look very good. And I think we've got to do better when it comes to that. I think if he's going to do it, fucking do it at half-time. Don't do it in the park when it's in front of the cameras. Because you know yourself, where it happened with Okoflex in the Hibs game, he had an AirPod in, and that was due to the man, the staff gave him an AirPod. But some fans see that and go, is that cunt listening to music? And it flares things up. I don't remember that, John, but I agree with you when you're winning.
Nah, I think everybody knows it's the manager that's giving him a few words of encouragement, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and try and save my job, son. But I think it's a bit late for that. And see, fair play to Okoflex, Harper, Mickey Johnson, still young, out a long time injured. The boys kind of get through under the bus as well. Not going to criticise the boys for performance whatsoever.
Nah, you can't
even.
Very hard circumstances.
It's very hard to criticise him, Robert. I know that for me, it did look a bit, I don't want to say out of place, but you see how maybe we say the young guys deserve a chance, but you maybe see how high that jump actually is, maybe, in terms of physicality and fitness.
See, this is where I would say, again, it's no structured.
Mm-hmm.
Because every elite club, they've got a structure of a tactics of where that goes from tap to bottom. Like your Barcelona's tactic is a 4-3-3, keep ball, move it quick, for their top team to their youth team, and that's how their transition is. If one of them are going to break into the team, then it becomes natural for them to come into the team because it's natural to them. Because they've been playing that way all the way, and that's how the Barcelona way of playing is, the Ajax way of playing is keep ball, and the guys that come through a youth system, to me, we've changed our tactics and our formation about 60 times a season. Honestly, it gets changed twice, three times a game because we don't know what we're doing. So how you try to bring young boys into that and say to them, the system we play is this or the system we play is that, because they'll be playing a completely different system at youth level. I'm not saying that's how they can make the grade, but if, say, Oxlade-Fex plays on the right or plays on the left, you're 4-2-3-1 in the youth system, and then get into a 4-1-2-1-2, which Celtic have been playing recently, diamond kind of thing. These boys don't know where they're playing and what they're doing, because to me, there was no guidance, no... We didn't have a striker on the park. We played a false nine against Hibs because we didn't have any strikers available. We obviously didn't have any strikers for youth level available. It's just one big, massive fuck-up that's just... We've only ourselves to blame for. We didn't even have a manager on the touchline. To me, obviously, that's through our own stupidity. All right, we could have caught COVID here, but it wouldn't have been as 13, 14 players out and management through it, if it was here, so that can contained and moved it road. Julian wouldn't have been, they reckon it was all come through the flight. That's how they managed to self-isolate through people on the flight. who was sitting within a close proximity of Julian. And you knew right away when Julian got it, you knew, who's Julian's pals at Celtic? The French boys. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't going to be Oakley Flex, it wasn't going to be any young youth players. It was always going to be his pals who's kind of been known about him in a close proximity, which I don't know why Julian had to even be in Dubai. To me, it just doesn't make sense in any way possible. He should be back in Lennox Town, as your dad said, with a physio working on it and seeing the extent to it and where they can go to get back quicker and fitter. Well,
physios go to players' houses now, I know, Robert. They work in their houses. Can they not?
It just baffles me, John, that we've made the absolute mess that we're in. And I just feel the youth system, the scouting system, the management, the PLC, the board, it's just all people going in the wrong direction. There's no a structure in place long term where we can say, right, this is where it's all going. To me, it's all people all going in one direction, in different direction in short term. And players that probably don't want to be there now as well. It's just one big, massive rebuilding job needing done for Tap to Boatman, in my opinion.
Aye, seeing you're talking about a structure, but Barca play a 4-3-3, Rangers play a 4-3-3.
Liverpool 4-3-3.
Rangers, eh? See the Rangers back four? They're playing that position the whole season. They're not getting moved about. Celtic are moving their players about every week. Christie's played everywhere. Ayers played everywhere. Cham's played everywhere in the middle of the park. It's crazy. You're talking about Barca, the structure is the 4-3-3, whatever, and you know how to play that position. You've spoken about the Ajax model. Ajax, you play every different position. You don't play in goals or whatever. You play the 10 outfield positions, you get a week at right back, a week at left back, a week up front. So they're good enough to fill in anywhere in the park. That's what you're looking for, something like that, isn't it, Robert?
Aye. Exactly, John.
See like that, say for example, see that Daley Blind, the boy went to Man United. It didn't work out for him that well. That boy played about five or six different positions with Man U as well, because he might not be the best. But he could, because he's that used to it, playing in Holland, and that's what they do. You've got to be comfortable to play in that position. You could be left back 1 week with Ajax, centre forward the next, and you've got to be able to do it, or you'll no be there.
And I say with teams like that, it's no often they change their management, it's no often they change their scouts, because if it's working for them, they keep it in place, and it lasts for a long time, whereas we're changing every 2-3 years. It needs to be a long-term plan, no short-term. Everything's short-term at Celtic, you know. And I just feel that's where we're going wrong as a club.
That's what I would take 2 or 3 years of hurt easily to have long-term success. And when I say long-term success, I don't mean domestically, because you're always going to win something here, aren't you? I'd like to think so. It's Europe you want to progress. It's no domestically. Domestically, it's no too bad. It's in the European arena now, but we're struggling big time.
See, like, just for instance, John, like, you produce a guy like Kieran Tierney at £26 million, and it's a great bit of business for the club, and I get maybe the first team needs a bit of money invested in it. Why no use that? And it's a model, as in saying, right, £5 million of that is going to get into the academy, to produce more scouts and stuff like that, and keep rebuilding on that side of it, to maybe produce another Kieran Tierney 4 years down the line, and then it's the £5 million being invested wisely, rather than going and buying a gate ball and go at £3 million and £20,000 a week, then going to spend £2 million on Greg Taylor, then going and spending, say, £2 million in a loan fee for Laxalt, which I've spent £10 million in that, and it's no worked. I'm not saying it'll be a left back, it could be a right back, it could be a right centre half, it could be a right mid, but the structure of the youth system is at £2 million a year. That's what Celtic spend on it. But I don't think the scouting system is very good to get players in at a young age. and developing the way Ajax do, the way RB Leipzig do, the way Bayern Munich do, the way Man City do. I'm not saying we can compete with him, but we've got to look at that and try and get players in at a younger level and try and get develop them and holding on to them, because we've lost two of our best talent to Bayern Munich recently and one to Man City. And that's just all down to the structure and the club just not being right for these young boys to develop and seeing their path to the first team, in my opinion.
The team you're talking about, obviously, young boys have went to Bayern Munich and City and stuff, right? See if their youth system can scout them and go, they're good. How can they no progress with us? Is it because Scottish football is it physicality? I don't know what it is, because that's what we've spoken about before. I know that maybe Dortmund's youth team are better than us, right? Maybe the players are better. But if your boys at 16 make their debut, no longer out of place. And if you guys at 19, 20, 21 can win and they look totally out of place. Like, I don't want to say totally out of place, but they don't, as you, they're no accustomed to the way we're playing. They look, it takes some games to get up to speed. Like, you can tell right away that Harper and Okoflex and even to extent Mickey Johnson, that they're no fully developed into the first team. Because I've said to my dad, I know Mickey Johnson's young, but I don't think the boys are good enough to step in and play weekend week for us yet. He might do in the future. But I don't think I'm maybe too harsh. Maybe I expect too much. But I know he's been back for a long injury. It's got to take a long way for me to fit again. But even when he was playing, I don't see the big thing on him. I don't know if that's just made me critical, Robert. But I don't think he's good enough for me. Say for talk, say it's James Forrest and it is Aaron Ushi, right? Aaron Ushi's got injured, right? Mickey Johnson, can I really rely on him to come in and do well? I don't know. That's why I think we need to look at, as you says, put back my money into the development side. And if it is a guy at 16 who, like Dembele, right? We don't know about the ins and outs about Dembele, right? But at 15, 16 year old, he was class as the next big, the biggest, best thing came out of Park Reed, right? So see all the money in the youth, they haven't, you can't get to get that boy up to speed at that level. If it is, you've got to play him in the youth in the first team or reserves all the time in there to build him up, because that's what all these guys at Dortmund do. Look at Sancho. Dortmund signed Sancho for a few months, he was in the first team, and then fucking look at him now, he's worth 100 million. So I think it was Anthony Joseph, I think, the guy of Sky. I seen him on Twitter. He was tweeting the other day or yesterday. And I told our team, I think we've got to change our full model now. It's working for us, but for me, it's not working now. See all this signing guys and then selling for 2 or 3 years down the line. I think we've got to totally change the full name of this CEO. I think we've got to catch up for me. I don't know what you think, John, but I think we've got to catch up for me to modernise football. They all go away. Merely a head coach, manager, and then you've got a sporting... So you've always got somebody to go to. For me, I just think it's between Lawwell and Lenigo. We'll sign him. Because I think we need somebody that deals with the full of the football side. Because, see, I think it was last week, a few weeks ago, Lenny's press conference, and they get asked, do you sign the players? No, it's a collective, but I get the final say. That's you saying you've not got the final say. Just say, I have got the final say. Because we know he's no, because some of the players... be signed, fucking, was it Marion Shev with Rodgers? I've never seen him play before. Are you joking? You can't go to spend £1 million, £2 million on somebody you don't fucking know. That's unforgivable. That's, you're paying money into scouts and guys like Congerton, when he was here, to go out and, that's your job, to go out and scout guys, like it is Lawwell's job, to go out and get a better manager for the club, which is an idea for Lennon and giving them the shivers. I think the full system has got to change. We've got to just say to Desmond, if it is Lawwell, listen, thanks for your efforts. You've maybe done it in this year, but see you later. A brand new idea. So I think, John, you're kind of big on a total big idea, total fresh ideas for the club.
First, regarding players' development, Celtic, it seems, are one of the best at developing their younger players. It's that step between maybe 16 to 19, say, just before they hit the first team, that's a stumbling block. All the youth levels and all that, they win all the cups abroad and whatever, and they do well, even playing against Bayern. Barcelona, whatever, they can compete with him up to under-16s, whatever. And then, they're no rare. The don't development abroad between ages of maybe 16 and 19 seems to be far better. Don't know why, because maybe they're outside more. The weather's a bit, well, the weather in fucking Germany's not very great, it's about the same as here, but they're outside a lot more in Barcelona. They can get outside a lot more training, get more touches of ball outside, whatever. I think they're just that wee bit of development. If we had that wee bit more success, I think you'd have more homebred players coming through, because it seems to have stalled a wee bit, didn't it?
See you on that side of things, John. It's all right if I just, that you're on this case, just nip in here, mate. See what I feel with youth football is in Scotland. They took away the reserve league, right? And the reserve league was brilliant. And the fact is that you had players coming back for injury, seasoned pros that your players could play against and find out the rough and tumble things. I know we can't bring players out now and send them out to junior teams, what we used to do back in the day. And it toughened guys up, it made them better players. But I like to fall back to this structure as what they were going to do was they were going to put the youth teams into the lower leagues in Scotland and into the cup competitions, because it gives these young players an idea of what a season pro is doing in League Two and the wee cup competitions like the Iron Brew Cup, which is a great idea, but I just don't think that's enough for them. I think that's where our youth players are no getting developed enough, is because they're no playing, they're only playing guys their age. They're no playing against guy 32, 33 who will maybe give them a kick, maybe talk them through games. I think that's where we lack in that side of it, and I think Scottish football as a whole needs to do better. And I think obviously when the pandemic's over and stuff like that, say like a wee team like Clyde, and if they're playing over just at Broadwood, you would go up on a Tuesday night if Celtic under 21s were playing there, and you went Tuesday night, no day night, I'll nip up there and have a look. They'll get more revenue to it. It'll help those smaller teams in Scotland, and it'll help develop younger players in Scotland and become more men, because I think now it's too mollycoddled in this society. And as you say, going from being an 18-year-old and a great prospect to then playing against seasoned pros and men at 30 years of age, it's a massive jump. You're no playing against guys your own age, weight and size. You're then playing against a guy who could be 6'4" and 14 stone a muscle. It is too much of a jump. And I feel in Scottish football, we need to develop the Colt teams more and put them in the war leagues in Scotland, because I think it's a win-win situation all round, in my own opinion.
I see on that, Robert, you were saying, obviously, get back to reserve team with football and stuff. Obviously, I watched Open Goal with Simon Ferry and that. And Simon Ferry, in his interviews, he always talks about how the youth football they played was the best time of life. And when they played against reserves, they were playing with the first team players who were coming back for injury. They were playing against guys like Gavin Ray and all that who were in the Rangers reserves. And you get kicked. And if you give the ball away, you were right on you. The first team players are on you. And he says that experience was brilliant, because you were playing, as you say, with older guys. You were getting talked through the game. You were learning. No, just because, let's be honest, we've all played football. You can only learn so much through training. But if you're playing games week in, week out with the first teamers, you're going to get experience of guys knocking you about. I think maybe even if it means sending them down to junior level for fucking a few weeks to get ruffled up. That's, I know. It's all different, isn't it? I think the Colts thing, I don't know if it is going to happen, but I know I've been talking about it. I think it's definitely a win-win. As you say, it gets a lower league fans seeing maybe what's going to come up maybe in Scottish football. Let's be honest, see that, as you spoke about Clyde, right? A Clyde fan, say they're playing Celtic, Celtic reserves, and it's Mikey Johnson, maybe Okoflex, Connor Hazard, Ingles. Fuck, they guys were playing against Hibs last week. Now we're playing against Hibs. They go, oh, da, I'm going to watch that. So it is a win-win, and I think you're right. When it comes to the development side, I think it would be a win-win for the development side getting better, because they'll be playing week in, week out. And I think that's what is missing. I think the system is missing, because when you're playing against youth guys all the time, and let's be honest, Celtic and Rangers youth systems, they're one of the best when it comes to quality of players in the division. So some games it could be 5 or 6-0. So what are you getting out of that? Not much.
It's just again, maybe a guy who's been through all the leagues and gone like that. I'm not letting these wee cunts turn up here because they're playing with youths or Rangers youths and going, getting them up. They might be trying to get in with fancy footwork and all that. These guys that are going to be season pros are going to go like that. Fucking show these wee silly boys that they're here and they're going to get a game, and I'm going to make sure that we gaff apart. We're the winners, because at the end of the day, really, I'm the wee boys. We're season pros that's played football all days for the loving money. So sometimes that a wee rough and tumble, speaking on a part, will develop them every sort of way. Because as you say, there'll be season pros in the park telling them, talking guys through the games and just and watching their movement and the things that they can do. Whereas it's young boys that are developing, they're all very similar in that sense. I just think something needs to change at youth levels / reserve / to me as well, just, you know, like football players, like, yeah, say your Chris Suttons and that coming through with Blackburn and your Dennis Wiseys and that, they used to have to go and clean the senior players' boots. Can you imagine telling a young guy like that, Ethan Bellis, say, or local flex, right, go and you clean Scott Brown's boots and make sure they're done right? They would turn around for you to date now. And I think the disappointing side of football is what happened years ago is go and sweep the stands. Things like that, I think, is fell out of football, and which is making football players, like, a lot of them are just wee fucking idiots as far as I'm concerned now. Like, too many of them are making too much money too soon and you'll never even hear of them. I think a disappointing side that's got to be brought back into football, I clean players' boots. I'm not saying it work at clubs, but I would like to try and see it brought back in at football clubs. The cleaning boots and sweeping the stand and just things like that. Just to let these wee guys know, if your football career doesn't make it, it's a big bad world out there. Put them on a building site with their for a week if they're 16 and they've got a brat attitude, and I guarantee you, he goes on to a building site for a week, he'll soon buck up these ideas and knuckle down and do what's needed done to become a professional football player.
I see, regarding the development, I quite agree with you what you're saying about the reserve league. I used to go to reserve games at Celtic Park years ago. If the first team game was off or whatever, you'd rock up to Parkhead and go and watch. You'd normally get 2 or 3 boys for the first team that weren't there. Back then, you might only have 2 subs. You'd 13 players. So you'd have 2 or 3 players that would be playing anyway, and some really good prospects coming through. It was excellent. You used to get big crowds at all fun games. It was excellent. Regarding development, quite agree. Younger players will learn more after a season pro. And see if they're playing with them for a month, they'll learn more within that month than what they would within a year in the academy. Definitely. Quite agree with that.
I think it sticks with me as well, obviously. Yourself, John, you watch Open Goal and that as well. Simon Ferry says, which I also quite like, has some of his interviews and what they talk about. It's kind of, as you say, Robert, they're more ridiculed now. They're more coddled now than they were. See the stuff they're talking about. That's why I love going to all these speakers' days, because they tell you all the stories and what they've done. And nowadays, all that wouldn't happen. But back then, it was, he plays, the one he says was, he says, Paul Lambert played a reserve game from night. He says, he didn't warm up or nothing. Just watched, he had a cup of tea. And I think he says, I think Simon Ferry was on the bench or something when he was playing. But he says, you'll learn more after me today and you'll learn with anybody else training for the next year. It was something similar to that. And he says, he was right. He says, he talked to guys through the game. He says, it was effortless. And that's, I think that's what's missing. I think I agree with you, yourself and John are saying. So it's the same with me that when I grew up, when I played, like, amateur, and I was only 17, 18, even guys at that level were taught me through the game, and I was getting kicked out. And I've always said, when I left 21s and went and played amateur, it was the best thing I ever done, because it made me a better player. I was learning how to hold the ball up, I was learning how to get free kicks, and learning how to talk through the game, and I think that is what's missing. There's no doubt these young guys are, to make it at Celtic at any level, 16s to 18s to 23s, whatever, you've got to be good. Especially these days, I think you've got to be really, really good. So there's no doubt these guys are really good for that level. But to get to the first team, I think now it's a total different level. I think it's a massive step. And I think that would be something I think that maybe we should look at, hopefully, if it happens. I think it would benefit Celtic, as you say, the signing Bolingoli for £3 million. They might have a left back who's going to be up to that standard, and he's free.
It's
like
just
different
ways of looking at it,
isn't it? Sorry,
go on, you go.
Sign Bolingoli, you sign Taylor, you've signed Laxalt, you've signed three left backs in just over a year. How can you possibly do that? Wasting money. And it's the fans' money it's wasted. Go to remember, it's the fans' money.
But see, when you're saying that, right? They'll still come out and listen. I'm people say I'm not a fan of Laxalt, and then I'm kind of like, now I'm unsure about the guy. He's brilliant, he's up for a tackles and that, but the last few games, he's kind of, it's his side, it's been the goals. And we, I'd be kind of moaning about if that was Tavernier, I would say that guy's shite because he's done that all season. So you've got to, the pros and cons of him and Taylor now, you've got to say, right. But you're right, you can't sign. For me, that just tells you everything about the transfer policy. It's rotten to the core. How can you sign three left backs and not one of them's going to play every week? Again, it's loan signs again. You're signing a loan guy. Say Laxalt is decent, mate, and he does become brilliant, mate. For a season, we're going to admire that guy. We're going to love the guy. Then he's away again. Then you've got to replace again. You've signed Duffy. He's away, you've got to place him again. Simonovic went away. You know what I mean? Didn't they place Simonovic? Johnny Hayes left. It stinks, man.
That's what I was saying, Ryan, about the long-term thing at Celtic. We've got too many loan players in the last few years. To me, all you're doing is developing somebody else's loan player, unless there's a clause in it that you can sign them, aye. But 8 times out of 10, we don't. They don't become anything special for us to go and sign them. They're out of our wage bracket. That's where it not one needs to change. And you've got to identify players the new, I think, for the summer, but we don't even know who's going to be the manager for the summer. We don't know if Lennon's going to keep the job to the summer or if he's going to play him. He's going to be the manager next year. I don't even know if they've got a plan B. They had a plan A, and in my opinion, they were just going to stick with Lennon no matter what to the end of the season. But I reckon in the next few weeks we're going to drop more points. It's sad to say it. I don't see us going and beating Livingston on Saturday in a depleted squad and when the plastic pitch is the most informed team in the league, apart from Rangers. I think it's going to be watching it through the cracks in your fingers. And I'm actually worried about the next few weeks because I think the banners at Celtic Park that were up on the fences will increase by tenfold if results start getting worse and worse. And I can't see it getting any better, to be quite honest with you.
That's what I say. I think the season will just get worse, Robert. Definitely.
Are you confident, John? Almondvale on Saturday on a plastic pitch and beating them?
No,
it's at home. It's at home on Saturday. Is it no?
Is it?
Aye, and then no. the away games. No, away. The away on Sunday. It's at home.
Right, sorry.
But the second game's away. And I think, obviously, we'll have most of the guys back for the second game, but they'll all be a week.
They'll be short. The guys will not be ready to play.
You can't go and play 10 or 11 of the players, they're not going to be fit.
Because, obviously, Ayeti and Griffiths struggling for fitness, now they're isolating again for 10 days. Then obviously, there's only so much they'll be able to do. So they're going to come back on fat again. It's just everything that's went wrong has went wrong. And I just think that the full model is going to change. Obviously, John, you were going to touch on the Leipzig model, how maybe we're not saying look at that identically, but something you can maybe look at.
Robert's mentioned before the Ajax model, and I've say Red Bull Leipzig. You still need to know, see the last 4 years, Leipzig have only spent 50 million net on players. They've sold players for big money and they've recouped money. Sorry, your screen disappeared there. Let's do that again. That's it. They've bought players for big money, sold players for big money. In the last 4 years, I've only spent 50 million, which is basically 12.5 million a year they're spending. And look where they are. Second in the Bundesliga. Fine with Bayern Munich for the league title the last 3, 4, 5 years. Semi-finals with Champions League. It just shows you with the right structure, development, you can do it. And that's just one team. There's other teams in Austria, Switzerland, Norway, other places that do things like that. And they're getting success. Look at the boy who played with Milan against Celtic. Was he Norwegian?
It was only 3 or 4 million, aye, for Bobo Gump, man.
Absolute belter. There's talent everywhere. It's just getting out and finding it. Because talent at every level of football.
I generally don't know what our scouts didn't see. For the last week, but I want to touch on the transfers. With Declan Gallagher, right? People were talking about Twitter, but we didn't get Benkovic, so I'd rather have... Why has Nicky Hammond got to scout Declan Gallagher? He plays in the same league as you. You don't need to go and scout him.
But see,
in general, why have you got to scout a guy that he plays in your league, you play against him, he's played for Scotland, a few good games for Scotland. Listen, there's no doubt the guy. Listen, the guy's playing Motherwell, right? Better than me. He's played for Scotland. He's probably he's a decent defender, right? But see, for us to improve us, nah, I'm sorry. I'm not going to have it. If he signed, I'll back the guy, I'll support the guy, and I hope he does well. But for me, free transfer again is a cheap option. There must be better free transfers than a guy sitting down 11th from the bottom of the table. Cassin goes left, right, centre. How's that going to improve us when we're trying to shore up our defence?
I thought our model was to be buy players young and develop them and sell them on for a high fee. He's 30 years of age in the summer. So what is he just a stopgap for a year? I don't. Then again, we don't. Celtic don't even know their structure now, do they? So what chance have we got in on it? I just, as you say, Ryan, it's like they're talking about signing the boy Alan something. What's his name? Doofy or something for
Alfie. For Charlton.
Aye,
that boy. Dowie. And they were going to bid a million and they bid up to 800 grand and 900 grand. Now they could sign him in a pre-contact and there's no one but a transfer news on it. I've no seen his link to him. We were talking about the right winger for Crystal Palace, QPR. Sorry, they were going to try and sign him in a pre-contact. Not another word said about it. I mean, we don't even know who the manager's going to be, so how can we go and sign players when we don't know who's going to be the manager? It just baffles me.
But that's the thing, it's all pre-contracts. If it's only end of the season, he's only going to be 500 grand, a million tops. If you think he might even give you a sniff, listen, the league's done, right? But if he's going to give you maybe a sniff to get closer to Rangers and then give him 6 months to bed in the team for qualifiers, then fucking dare. Why wait till the summer and then you need to, right, we'll get him. Because let's be honest, apart from Tumble, the rest of Bob been panicked by us. Because Barkas, for me, I want to give a guy time, but it's very hard to give a guy time he's in for £5 million. And the transfers, the model, everything's going to get better. We can talk about it all night, but it's going to get better. And I think it's only going to get better when the board gets restructured. If they tap the board manager, everything's going to get restructured, in my opinion. Because as my dad says, John says, I think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
I think it is going to get worse, Ryan. That's a problem.
I think you'll see if the results unfortunately do get worse, you will see fans reacting more, no violently, I don't want to use that word, more vociferous, shall we say, can do any parkade nor that. Then it shouldn't, then the day shouldn't we can do any parkade, there's a pandemic nor that. there's ways of doing things. I think the fans have got a big voice and it's going to be heard. The board need to listen to the fans. The fans aren't daft. The fans have seen the standards drop dramatically, and I can only see the season getting worse, Robert.
I agree with you, John. I don't see what, well, Scottish Cup, the only thing we can really look forward to now, because I don't know, I just don't see us really reducing the deficit by any great margins. I think the only thing is we might lose Merkin on it, and it might become a wee bit more embarrassing, as it's already embarrassing, but it could get even worse. It could become...
Falling in beside Hibs and Aberdeen.
It could become farcical, John. And I think if we changed the manager in October, we might have had a chance to stoke all that for happening. I'm not saying it would have happened, but when the fans demanded change, then it should have happened. And they've let it run. And they did say on their statement, if you remember, we'll re-look at this in the new year, game-by-game basis. So, the new year is, we played Rangers at Ibrox, get beat 1-0. We played Hibs at Celtic Park, 3-1 each. We've took 1 point in the last six. So, that's new 2 games into the new year. And they said they were going to review it on a game-to-game basis. I've not seen them out reviewing it. And they should be apologising for everything this season. Not just going to a trip to Dubai. I just feel the disconnect for the fans and the board is so far apart, and then they need to really get that back on track before the end of the season and before it gets too late and it becomes a financial gap very closer and closer and closer of Celtic and Rangers gap in money, because it's as easy as that how it could swing.
And then obviously, John, your last wee minute left here, lads, so your last kind of wee thought, John?
Regarding money, Celtic have got to... Domestically, you don't get in very little money for winning the league. In Europe is where the money is, and Celtic's miles off it. So, as you said, big restructure required, big changes on and off the park. But I think it's going to be a tough couple of months, lads, to be honest with you. I hope I'm wrong, though.
Agree with you, John.
I think we're on the same kind of agreement. I think we hope it gets better, but I think it could get worse. But obviously, we need to hang on to Saturday's game, try and get a positive result, and then we'll go for them. We'll see what happens in the next few days and next few weeks and then the season. But thanks for your time again, lads. That's part two done, and I'll see you again on the Celtic Now and for our podcast. Thanks, lads. Cheers.
Cheers, Ryan.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. He can't deny the need to fly.